What's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today I like to talk about the inexistence of the typical shark. The very shark that everybody always refers to when saying a shark did this, a shark does that, a shark has this, a shark has that. Of course, there's no chance that all the sharks do this or that the same way or react similarly. Sharks are individuals who are individually affected by all the common parameters. The very shark does not exist. That should not come as a surprise. Otherwise, we would never see, for example, different type of approach patterns or something like that to the extent. Of course, it can be assumed that some sharks, some patterns are more similar than others. But even with a pattern, differences are easily recognizable. For example, the angle is different. When it approaches, the tail beat frequency changes, the level the animal comes towards you, and on and on. I defined quite a few behaviors among different shark species in the past, and the major part was to get the boundaries within the species. Boundaries are the cornerstone of a behavior when it comes to a behavior's performance. Let's look at chafing. A shark tries to get rid of shark suckers by rubbing its body along the bottom. I covered chafing in podcast 48, so I won't go into details here, but want to remind you that there are different ways how a shark can try to rub shark suckers off. So a shark can use a sand ripple where the crest is used like a comb, or the shark can use the wall of such a ripple against which it moves along, or it can ignore a ripple altogether and just rubs a shark sucker off in any possible way along the bottom. Each shark acts or reacts to the extent of irritation and to the position of the shark sucker, with position I mean, of course, with reference to sensory organs. I guess you see what I mean. Of course, when it now comes to the interaction with humans, it is easily understood that every shark is on its own as to how it tries to check us out or try to interact with us. During my career, I spent hundreds of hours hanging out with sharks and observed them. And no matter what species I had in front of me, it had as many different approach pattern combinations as it had specimen. Hanging out with sharks is really, really important. Granted, some species show similarities. Should they, for example, approach directly below the surface or right over the bottom or in low visibility, strong current, and on and on. But no matter what every shark performed individually, they were within certain boundaries. Let's look at a simple approach of a shark here in open water. It can happen that you encounter a typical open water species or then a more shore-oriented one that wandered into deeper water. Right there you have two different characters where both act the way they are most used to. But even that could then fluctuate or will fluctuate if, let's say, there would be a juvenile specimen of an open water species or an adult one. Every shark out there goes through a learning curve when growing up, and depending on the situation it finds itself, it already may have a clue or not when the object is in front of it. When I started doing research on sharks in the early 90s, there was the common assumption that sharks are primarily instinct-driven creatures. Of course, that was a lot of BS because the scientists back then did not spend time in the water with sharks but assumed most of it since they did not dare. That is one of the reasons why there are so many erroneous information on the internet still present. And what's funny is that even today, plenty of my colleagues out there would still not hang out with a tiger shark or a white shark or a bull shark because of their initial biased assumption and their fear. I know, some of them are rather pathetic, and I could give you quite a list of some of these idiots. How can you talk shark when you have not spent the required hours underwater with them? Just a shark dive here and there does not give anybody the authority to then talk about these animals, but unfortunately, that is mostly the case. So if that quote-unquote expert is then not grilled by a counsel in front of court, he or she gets away with anything And those opinions then end up in newspapers and labeled facts. Whenever there is an incident and one of those colleagues is interviewed, it is sometimes mind-boggling to read so much crap. You think now I may be hard on some of them, but truth be told, because they talk badly about sharks, that they're dangerous, that it is and that, is what gives a lot of fishermen still the free rein of killing them. Because what's better than get rid of a dangerous animal so you can move back to swim in the beach? I remember one incident. One of my colleagues back when, actually it's not even a colleague, it's really an idiot, back then was making a statement about bull sharks. And he was quoted that once a bull shark starts biting, it normally won't let go until the person is dead. Can you imagine? Such a stupid phrase coming from a so-called shark expert. There are about 5 to maybe 10 incidents with bull sharks per year, so all the rest that never bites a person, how do they fit in? Or since we have so few incidents per year and they're hardly ever fatal, hello, where does it come in? Where does the opinion of this expert really come through? I could go on in dissecting this statement, but I think you get the point. Me personally, I can't believe these people, and I mean here, all those experts who do not spend time among sharks, are of the belief that all sharks of a particular species do all the same thing. Forget it. Every species consists of specimen, and every specimen has its own toolbox of characters, have character traits that it puts out there when dealing with a problem or a human being. The very shark does not exist, and it's up to all of us to make non-believers understood that sharks are not instinct-driven feeding machines. So this raises the question, of course, if there are no instinct-driven patterns. Well, there are, of course. But even during a rather stereotyped performance, the shark's mind adapts every performance for the best possible outcome. Whenever you get the chance to hang out with sharks, go for it, observe, because most of the time you have a single species out there, but different specimen, and you will see what I just meant. Hanging out means what it says. Be among them without any deeper purpose and just observe. I find this to be the best way to get to know a shark. Observation is the key to better understand an individual shark, and then put its behavior against other specimens of the same species that one has seen in the past, and then you start to get the boundaries. And you will always see a difference. Sharks are individuals like you and I, and we should give them the time of day to express themselves and show us that they are not instinct-driven, but have a mind that is not bound to others. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.